Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarlane. We've got a lot of sports talk to discuss today on July 15th. The reason why I'm bringing up July 15th, guys, is I got to remind you about a new and exciting brand launching right here in Iowa. It's called Apex. Apex is a performance apparel brand that launched, again, today, July 15th. Apex is founded and operated by Austin Martin, who's a former Division I baseball player at the University of Iowa. Go give them a follow at Apex Brand _. I'll spell it out for all you listening out there. At APEX Brand _. Be on the lookout for updates on Apex's latest apparel and go shop today at www.apexperformancebrand1.com. Now, Jack, let me tell you about something that didn't really perform very well. And this is a little bit of an odd thing for me to say, but Jed Hoyer, not performing up to Theo's expectations right now. He just traded, guys, remember this is July 15th. We're recording this at 8 p.m.-ish. And about 30 minutes ago, we got the news that Jock Peterson just got traded to the Atlanta Braves for pennies on the dollar. I'm not even going to say the prospect's name.
Bryce Ball.
Because I don't even want like the name to then haunt me if I'm criticizing.
And Bryce Ball.
He becomes like a baller later. But yep. He averages 207 in single A, lower single A. He has six home runs. Wow, six home runs. But 207. So we're getting that for Jock Peterson.
Yep. Yeah, you know, it's insane. And just imagine what Chris Bryant's going to net. Like, it's damning what the Cubs are about to go through in this next two-week stretch. I've been trying to preface this and get everyone prepared for this that are Cubs fans, but it's going to be terrible, dude. It's going to be bad. I don't envy you at all.
Like, it's so tough, too, because we're coming off such a great couple days. Brennan Davis wins future game MVP. He shocks the world, hits two home runs. He balls out. He is going to be the next great Cub. And mark my words, he's going to be the next great Cub. And I'm saying it now. Jack's laughing, but he knows it. He's a little envious. We got a little Brennan Davis on our squad.
Don't give a shit. I mean, he's one guy. It's fine. It's fun. It's fun to rally, Ryan.
Then you saw KB in the dope All-Star jerseys. People are hating on the jerseys. I thought they were sick. I was like, Major League Baseball is trying to have a fun All-Star jersey for once, which never happens. Most of their jerseys are super boring. And KB was looking like a stud in the outfield during the All-Star game. He's saying all the right things. You know, I want to be a Cub for as long as they'll have me, blah, 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 blah. It's a great city. And he's talking about the north side, not the south side, by the way.
No, I know. I just want to stop you right away. KB went 0 for 2 with a K.
That's okay. He's coming out of the excitement of the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. But then, guys, we go from All-Star KB, All-Star Craig to bye, Jock. Thanks for the spring training performance.
Jock of all people to get the first boot.
It's
not the move I expected.
I thought what would happen was we'd trade Craig, we'd trade KB, and then it's like, okay, we're just selling. We're going to get rid of Jock too and get a couple prospects or something. But you sell Jock first? Yeah. Like, if Jock was on the team and the whole team were losing and the whole thing is just burning down, collapsing – I thought Jock would still be there, to be honest. I thought you sell him only if you have like a little bit of a nice offer, because like you only have him on a 1-year deal or whatever, and you got him for nothing anyway. But you trade him first, like you trade one of the like lowest tier guys on our team away. That just shows what I'm worried too is like we trade Jock and then all these Cubs fans are stressed for the next couple of days, and then they don't get a deal for Craig and KB. And then everybody's
they will definitely get one for Craig Kimbrel. Like every single year, it's death taxes and teams paying a lot for good pitching. You'll get a good amount for Craig Kimbrel. He's like the Craig Kimbrel from Boston. He's on right now. So you'll get some top 10, top 5 prospects in their like organization. I just looked at the Braves. This Bryce Ball guy's, I think, number 12. He's nothing to write home about, like you say. He's He's nothing. Like, I don't, I wouldn't.
He's what, at best, a Jock Peterson level player?
Maybe. And he's like 6'4", 6'5", 250. So he's playing first base. So I don't know how much you guys really got from that. But yeah, you got to expect Craig Kimbrel. But I don't think Chris Bryant, like, you see this trade, Chris Bryant's not, he's not going to blow everyone away with this, like, return. It's going to be bad. People are going to be screaming for Jets head.
I'll talk about KB in a second. But now the one thing is, because Hoyer's a part of the little mastermind of the Theo Empire. Yeah. That's what I call it, Theo Empire, not Theo Epstein, Theo Empire. Is what if we're trading this prospect in like a mega trade? Like, what if he's just a piece in the big picture puzzle?
Your tinfoil hat is all the way on right now. This is keeping you alive.
Jack, what if? What if?
No. There's nothing exciting about him.
What if there's just he's just a piece?
Jock Peterson can't hit a lefty, and you traded him for a prospect that can't hit. And I'm sitting here and supposed to believe that we're going to trade him for –
We're flipping him. I'm calling it right now. I don't know who we're flipping him for, but we're flipping him.
Well, when you figure out who, get back to me on that. But
with KB –
Who the hell is getting
flipped? The thing with KB, though, too, is with this whole KB trade rumor thing is – Why do the Cubs give up a guy who can play every position?
Talking about KB?
Yeah.
Well,
like, if we can't get a good deal for him, why do we trade him?
Because you're not going to keep him. It turns out to, like, the Cubs are going to get a compensatory pick in the draft if they let KB walk, which is, like, second round, okay. Like, after everyone picks, they're in the second. I don't have any idea how those work, but I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere. Or they get a picking of which prospect they get, or two or three. And I was in a little like talk with my buddy today about this trade and like the possible scenario of like how it could go down. And just for my own amusement, like, yeah, KB can play every position on the field. He's a great player. Manny Machado was traded from Baltimore to LA, and he brought back like four or five prospects. Mm-hmm. They all sucked. One of them was a top 100.
That's what I'm saying.
None of them are in the MLB.
That's what I'm saying.
KB's going to bring in less than that, and it's probably going – so, like, yeah.
Mm-mm. He won't bring in less. Was Manny Machado MVP or a World Series champion?
No, but he had two gold gloves and a silver slugger. I mean, you just said team accomplishments, and he's got gold gloves and a silver slugger. KB had an MVP year, and then he fell off the cliff and – You know, if the Cubs signed him when he'd fallen off the cliff, they'd have a bargain. But we're at this point of other teams are getting a bargain. So I don't know how much more you want to talk about this revolving door of sadness.
My whole thing is, and we'll move over to
because this is just a sad topic for even me to talk about.
My whole thing is the one good thing is like, you know, when you see just like people say like, you know, that the animal just like you gotta shoot the animal like when it's just like
you gotta put it down.
Yeah, you gotta put it down. Is if KB leaves, it finally shoots it down where like I don't have to defend him anymore. That's my KB thing. Yeah.
I feel like it'd be
but every time we talk about him.
Nah man, I think it's every time easier to defend KB than it is to defend Javi. I don't know how.
No, I'm not saying it. Like I'm not saying KB versus Javi. I'm just saying KB keeping him or trading him. Because, like, you don't understand the pain I'm in, Jack. KB, I'm sitting in my living room. People don't believe this story, but I have friends to back it up. We casually had the MLB draft on because I'm like, I'm going to watch the Cubs at the third pick, okay? And I literally said, I'm like, if Chris Bryant goes one or two, I am going to die. Like, I am going to be so sad. Wow. Like, I don't mean literally, people, but. I just will be so sad. KB gets drafted. I literally cried. I literally sat on my living room floor and cried because I knew he would change the franchise. I'm like, this is our guy. And now our guy, who could be the face of the Cubs for another 8 years, is now leaving for pennies on the dollar. Like, that's what this podcast should be called, Jack. This specific one, Pennies on the Dollar. That should be the name of this pod. I have a title.
We can call it that. We can call it that. I mean, totally. 100%.
Jack's face lit up, even though
yeah, this
he's like
fun.
Sitting in the dark.
Yeah, this is fun for me. Like, I don't I don't think you understand. Like, I want to move this on because it hurts me to hear you and everyone else bellyache about how this dynasty has just crumbled.
Oh, wait, at least he admitted it was a dynasty.
I didn't admit it. I'm just repeating what I've heard.
No, you didn't say what people say. You said dynasty crumbled.
That's what you're going to cling on to. Finally, you see it. Jesus.
That's the one I have to call it, the crumble of the dynasty. I actually like that a lot better.
God, yeah, whatever.
But now transitioning to something a little bit more exciting, but still a little depressing for Jack and I, is Jack, no more Suns in five. But I don't know about you. I'm on the Suns in six bandwagon.
Suns in six. I mean, this Suns is kind of like...
six. It sounds so much more clean, too. Suns in six.
Yeah, like, it was like when honestly, it's a great segue. When the Indians played the Cubs, and I was all the way in on the Indians, and everyone had the whole Tribe in five. And I was like, that is so catchy. Like, I can see Tribe in five. And like, it was set to go, and then they just didn't do it. And like, Suns in four has just been like in stone all year. Suns in five just doesn't have a ring to it. Suns in six, definitely something I think a lot of people could get behind.
Because I'm going to admit, Suns in seven makes me nervous.
Suns in seven, yeah. But it would be at home in seven, so that might be a little better than
yeah.
But see, that's where it goes. Game six, you got to win in Milwaukee. I fell asleep during the other game, game four. I just rewatched like half of it because they re-aired it because there is no professional sports on tonight. Nope. Insane. But Phoenix had every chance to win that game. It's like COVID in March. Yeah, seriously. But Phoenix had every chance to win that game in Milwaukee. Milwaukee was at home. Giannis had one of the greatest plays in NBA Finals history, blocking Ayton. Like, it was insane to watch. But a lot of people forgot Patrick Williams did that earlier in the year against Giannis. Not a big deal. Anyway, yeah, I think the Suns definitely have a chance to take the next two in a row. But, you know, Giannis has been cooking. Middleton's been cooking. There was someone I saw their stat line. I need to pull it back up. I don't have it up. Someone's stat line on the Bucks was absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, it was probably Drew Holiday.
It was Drew. Yeah, 100%. Drew is terrible.
He's had a horrible finals. Like, holy, you know, they get rid of Eric Bledsoe for him.
But that's an improvement on paper for like what you would expect from Drew Holiday. Like, Eric Bledsoe's not the guy that would like pull up and like make a three.
No. I feel like Drew Holiday. They would want
from Drew. Yeah. Yeah. And he just can't.
He can't do everything wrong. So, like, I've wondered. I'm like, Eric, it was great that they got Drew all the way through this run, but would they be better off with Eric Bledsoe in the finals?
I mean, yeah, you could say hindsight because Drew's playing like historically terrible, but like, would the Bucks be better without PJ Tucker on the floor because he has no points and six fouls? But he's unreal defensively. Yeah. It's like they have so many like players that aren't contributing that should be, and it's putting so much like of a load on Giannis and Middleton.
But I feel like too, if Giannis and Middleton are cooking, then it's like we don't want anybody to touch the ball. Like, why do they need PJ? Like, PJ Tucker took 1-3, and that was his only shot all game. They're telling PJ, don't be an offensive guy tonight. Just shoot.
Don't even ask for the
ball. Just defend and rebound. That's what you're doing. You're just another body. And I mean, PJ Tucker, like, you know, can match up against some of these guys. Like,
amazing how PJ Tucker has taken this, his career has taken this turn from going on from Houston, being the center, being a pull up, standout, three point shooter all the time because they needed him to be like, he's in the finals now, but he's not allowed to touch the ball.
Yep.
It's like what a transition for him. He's aging like fine wine.
But like, what's crazy is like, Brooke Lopez was 0-for-5 from three. Holiday was 0-for-5 from three.
Brooke Lopez is known as like 7-foot Klay Thompson, and he's been ice cold.
You know, Giannis was 0-for-2, shocker. Milton was 3-for-8. Then you have the Suns, CP3 0-for-2, Booker 0-for-3, which is not like Book, even though he had an unbelievable performance.
Right.
And then Crowder was 3-for-9. He was their best 3-point shooter all night. And Cam Johnson was 2-for-4, and Campaign had 1-3. Like, the lack of 3-point shooting was crazy this game.
Yeah. No, it was a grindy game that the Bucks pulled out.
What I've wondered is, what if that game was played in the bubble? What would the result be?
I don't think they get that momentum because Phoenix had it the whole way. They just needed to keep playing their game. And then, like we just talked before we came on, D-Book had that fifth foul at the beginning of the fourth. They had to take him out. You take out your number one, like, outside threat that can pressure Middleton or anyone to really guard you. It makes you sort of one-dimensional because, yeah, you got, like, Chris Paul, Jay Crowder. You got some shooters, Bridges, but it's not like Devin Booker. And when he's not on the floor in that, like, final 12 minutes, like, the joke that people always say is, like, NBA games don't matter until, like, the last 3 minutes of the game. Well, in the playoffs, it's, like, the fourth quarter really matters the most. Well, and D-Book was not out there for the first, like, 4 minutes. That's horrible.
Here's my question for you. So Ayton played 39 minutes, Booker played 39 minutes, Crowder played 39 minutes. They had three guys off their bench play, which were
Craig Campaign and not Frank Kaminsky. It's going to be I don't know.
Cam Johnson. They were the only other three. Cam Johnson played 29 minutes, Craig played 15, Payne played 17. And CP3 played 37 minutes. Bridges played 26. He played the least, and he's the youngest one out of all of them. Or Ayton is, but he's a totally different position. Ayton had 17 rebounds, which was, you know, amazing. But, like, do you think this team now with that Saric injury, like, are they gassed? Like, they don't have enough depth. Like, they're not using the rest of their bench compared to, you know, the Bucks. I mean, they had three guys too, but – you know, they were way more effective. Pat was 4 for 9, 3 for 7 from three. You look at some of the other guys, Portis had 5 rebounds. He had a block and a steal as well. And, like, you know, Teague is kind of a guy, you just put him in there when you're trying to rest some of the other guys up. And, you know, the starters on the Bucks, I mean, they play, you know, Giannis, Milton, and Holiday played 43 minutes, but do you think the Suns just don't have the are they gassed or do they not have the depth that they need to defend, like, these big bodies between the Middletons? And, like,
yeah, I don't think they definitely have that depth down low.
Besides Booker, take Booker out of it. What's, like, the other factor?
They don't even play. They don't play Frank Kaminsky when Sarge gets hurt. And, like, that would be Frank Kaminsky stepping in for Sarge. And the fact that he doesn't even play, it's like, dude,
but don't you think also,
yeah, he didn't they play need some help of down his low
performance though?
Well, yeah, but, like, they need some help. Like, Ayton can only do so much. Like, the guy is – he's an up-and-down big man. He can't do a whole lot else. You need someone to, like, stretch it and take a little burden off of him. And, like, yeah, Frank the Tank can do that if you put him on the floor. Like, he's not fantastic, but at some point, it's like the Bucks. They put in Bobby Portis. Like, they traded for him. They wanted him, but, like – you're telling me Frank Kaminsky can't do what Bobby Portis does for the Bucks? Yeah. I think he could honestly come on the floor and get you some minutes, maybe a couple
of points. Portis is a little crazy, though.
He is nuts. Bobby Portis is nuts. And, like, Frank Kaminsky is not crazy like that. Like, you won't punch your teammate in the eye crazy, but, you know, Frank Kaminsky will go out there and he'll give – do you remember from the last series when Pat Bev shoved fucking
– yeah.
Was it Chris Paul? And Kaminsky was right there and he just did nothing?
Yep.
So soft.
Yeah, Frank is that guy where, like, if you see your friend at the bar getting into a little bit of a, you know,
he'll Irish goodbye and walk out.
Yeah. He just walks out. He's like, oh, wait.
I didn't see it.
See you later.
Yeah, I didn't see it. No, but definitely. I think
and then his buddy's texting the next day and they're like, where the hell were you? And he's like, oh, I was there. I didn't see you guys. I went to the bathroom.
I went to the bathroom. Yeah, sorry. Sorry. No, sorry.
I was closing there. My tab.
Yeah. Best alibi ever. I was closing my tab. But I just want to go back real quick and then we'll move forward again. But I pulled up the top 10 first basemen in, like, minor league baseball rankings.
Oh, God.
And Gavin Sheets, the guy on the Sox, who's actually doing, like, semi-competently well, is number 9. Bryce Ball's number 8. So you guys got that going for you. He's ranked in the top 10.
Oh, Gavin Sheets and him. Wow.
I'm just saying, Bryce Ball could be worse. I'm trying to help you off the ledge right now.
So are we saying that Bryce Ball is the next Anthony Rizzo for the Cubs? Is that what we're trying to get at?
Maybe. I mean, that's Bryce Ball and Brandon Davis. Is he a lefty or righty? He's a lefty.
Oh, next Rizzo. Okay, Bryce Ball, you're the next Anthony Rizzo. I'm calling it right here, right now. July 15th, 2021.
I'm telling you.
And think about it. Jed and Theo Empire, like, they drafted Rizzo. They drafted a young Anthony Rizzo with the Red Sox. Look what he became. I mean, yeah,
maybe you see something in Bryce. I don't know. Yeah. That's just me. That's just me trying to help you. But a trade that actually did go kind of well was Stan Bowman actually made a phenomenal trade, just trading Duncan Keith to the Edmonton.
But it was sad. It was sad.
It was very sad, but it's a trade that needed to happen. They traded Duncan to Edmonton for Seth Jones's brother, Caleb Jones, who's like a 24-year-old defenseman, makes a tenth of what Duncan Keith makes. And the Hawks got a third-round pick that could turn to a second if the Oilers make the conference finals, which will not happen. But they fleeced him. They fleeced him. They traded a 37, 38-year-old Hall of Famer for a 23-year-old making a tenth of his money, retained none of Keith's salary, and got a free draft pick. Mm-hmm. Like, that's highway robbery.
Third-round pick?
Third-round pick. It could turn to the second, but, yeah, it's a third for sure. So, yeah, like, no, it's phenomenal.
It was great. I mean, with the Hawks, I mean, with everything going on, the last pod, what we discussed going on with the Blackhawks, it was some good news that Hawks fans needed to hear.
Yeah, it's something. It's definitely something. And, you know, it's another page of that story kind of getting torn out, shut, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But hey, like, every era's got to end. The Hawks won 3 in 6 years. That's unreal. We were absolutely spoiled.
And what could we have done with a 37-year-old?
Nothing. Duncan. We were competitive last year. We made the playoffs. There was nothing else for us to do.
Yeah.
Like, it was time to go. And plus, with the expansion coming up, teams by tomorrow, July 16th, teams need to send in their expansion protection list. So
yeah, are there any news yet on who the Blackhawks might not retain?
I don't have any news on like who they're gonna protect and all of that, but
do they protect Seabrook?
No, since he's retired and I don't think his contract will count matter.
He retired. So
Totally brain farted. That's all the way done.
I've been bumming out about the Cubs today.
Well, like, the good thing is, like, you don't have Seabrook, you don't have Keith that you need to protect. Yeah. Last year, that was something that like a lot of Hawks fans were kind of nervous about, and they didn't want to have either one of them taken in that expansion. Now both of them are not someone you need to protect. That's really good. There's been a lot of rumors heating up about Seth Jones being traded to Chicago. That would be exhilarating. Of course, it would take a king's ransom. I don't know where you start with that. Apparently, DeBrincat and Doc are untouchable, so that means everyone.
Would you want DeBrincat to be traded?
No, I like DeBrincat. I mean,
a 23-year-old right winger.
I like him opposite of Keith. They're not Keith Kane, rather. Kane,
yeah.
I really like him opposite of him. I wouldn't be against trading Strome.
Yeah.
I think Strome would be trade. I think they could really want Strome because they traded Pierre-Luc Dubois to Winnipeg, and then they got Laine. Laine probably won't stay. So I could see them wanting Dylan Strome. I'd be 100% okay with trading him. He's not like the best skater. He's got a good shot. He's just a little slow. This NHL is blazingly fast. I'd be definitely cool with. I mean, if you have Kirby Doc, Jonathan Toews, and I mean, I don't really know who the third center would be, but I don't really care if Dylan Strome's not on roster. He's a fine center. I mean, you'd have to. I don't know if you eat much salary. I don't even know what Strome's contract situation is. I think he had a bridge deal. I don't know, but the Hawks definitely are going to have to give nearly everybody to get Seth Jones that you could think of. I think it's worth it. A lot of people say, don't do it. Just go sign Dougie Hamilton. They're all peasants. Seth Jones is absolutely a top three defenseman. There's no fucking way around about it. I don't want Dougie Hamilton. I don't want any of that. I want Seth Jones. I'd give anything for it. Like, that's, man, you trade for a top three guy. You re-sign him for a reasonable deal. Like, you just traded your number one, maybe Blackhawk ever away, and you brought in two good defensemen who are brothers, which is A, great for marketing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's for marketing. I mean, like, that goes without being said. The Hawks need a little good PR.
I mean the Blackhawks could take a page out of LeVar's handbook, to be honest.
Yeah, like, actually, if you wouldn't go and get the Jones brothers, you got half of them right now. And, you know, we've seen the Chicago, like, family type of connection try to go down. The White Sox a couple years ago, they got Yonder Alonso and John Jay and tried to get Manny Machado to go there. And
but it didn't work out, so I don't know if that was a good comparison.
It didn't fucking work. But Yonder Alonso is brother-in-law with Manny, and John Jay was his lifelong best friend. It was like, hey, like, those are completely political moves for them to try and get someone. Now, I think Caleb Jones is a lot better than John Jay and Yonder Alonso combined times 10.
Yeah, I was going to say by like 100.
So I think this trade's definitely a lot better. But, you can kind of see the writing on the wall. The Hawks are definitely trying to make this a legitimate opportunity for Jones to come, both Jones. So, it's good. The Hawks have some sort of good news.
But isn't it weird to you that it's just Taze now and Kane?
It's weird. No,
because I knew this day would eventually come, but it's just weird that we only are down to two.
No, yeah, it's definitely weird. It's
like, not, you look at the roster and it's literally just all 20-year-olds, and then there's a 32 and 33-year-old.
Yeah, no, they're completely,
they're the old men, and they're still not that old in terms of standards of athletes.
Like, this day of age, that era is like completely gone. And I actually think this is one of their best opportunities to contend for a cup because they don't feel this like unconscious need to keep everybody around, you know, like it's organically unfolded in a really terrible manner, but like, they didn't force Seabrook out. Keith wanted to leave. It was mutual. Yeah. Crawford left and then didn't play. So that was fine.
Crawford is a little bit worse, but
he ended up leaving, but he didn't play because he just didn't want to play for anyone not named the Hawks. Yeah. So that's fine. Hossa couldn't play anymore. Yeah. The only player that really you can say there's animosity could be Jalmerson. Out of that entire core, you could just say it's Jalmerson's the only animosity, and like, he's still playing at a very high level. The only other guy I could think of off the top of my head that is still playing at a decent level is like Nick Leddy. And Nick Leddy made me cry when I was like a 12-year-old. So I don't think about Nick Leddy anymore.
That's a trip to the therapist's office. Yeah.
That was a trip, dude. I don't want to talk about it.
But like, the thing is, I basically have always said, like, when I saw Kaner and Jonathan going into their 30s, I always thought there'd be two chapters of their Hawks careers. Like, almost like their 20s as early dynasty and then 30s as their run for one or two more.
Yeah. No,
I think they can get one. I think they can get one. I think it's one. Can they get two? But you know what? Like, it's weird for me to see the Lightning as back-to-back champs, because I think back to when we beat them in 15.
Yeah, but that team is so different now.
I know, but it's just, they're so good. Who would have thought with Kaner and them still in the league that the Lightning would be back-to-back champions? Like, Steven Stamkos is a back-to-back champ.
Dude, they have that entire 2015 core plus better defense plus an all-world goaltender now.
Yeah,
but it's just, I mean, insane. The expansion's going to break that team up. It'll be sad, but back-to-back, those Tampa Bay teams, swear to God, might be like the best NHL teams or NHL team we'll see for a while. Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too.
Electric, and the Hawks beat them right at the beginning of their priming, cool to experience.
If they were an NBA, an NFL team, who would you compare them to?
The Lightning are definitely like, are we talking about Lightning and Blackhawks? Mm-mm. Who are we talking
about?
Just the Lightning. It's the toughie.
I have to call them
like Golden State, but they didn't bring anyone in like Kevin Durant. So that's where I can't fully call them Golden State, because everybody's kind of been brought in via draft and like homegrown, but like Golden State kind of did the same way. So I'm going to go Golden State. That's the best comparison I have.
My comparison, or wait, I got to think about NBA for a minute. I have an NFL comp that they're not back-to-back champs, but they were close to being back-to-back champs, is the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about like the Legion of Boom being these like the top dogs that drove the team, like being like the Kucherov, Stammer,
Russell Wilson being a homegrown guy. Like I'm saying, even their success now as competitors, it's kind of reversed because they won early and now they're competing.
Yeah,
late.
No, I get what you mean.
I was thinking that NBA, you said Golden State. That was one of the teams I kind of thought about.
Because you can't, there's no LeBron.
I was going to say the Heat, but like, there's if you no don't LeBron. Count LeBron.
Yeah. Because
I was thinking like D Wade, like he was with them on their early run. And then later on, he won the back to backs.
Yeah. But he just won. No, definitely. Time. I could definitely.
And two totally different teams. It was the core was still there with like UD. Mm-hmm. Wade, James Jones.
You know, that's actually a better comp than I'll give you. It's just like the same thing with like KD. They didn't bring anyone in.
Yeah.
So like those are good comparisons. And I think both of those, like actually not Golden State, I think your comparison's a little better because they like touched it with Alonzo and Dwayne, but like they did win it. And then they went that period and then they brought in like everyone and it was
lit. Yeah. But they still had a few key guys like UD. Yeah. James Jones, he came in 08, so a little bit after the chip, but he was there for those Pat Riley years.
Yeah, I'm
trying to think, like, what other NBA teams? Because it's been LeBron in the finals.
No, I don't think there is really is any. Because the Lightning have just been playing at such a high level.
The Raptors brought in Kawhi, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Could you say the Spurs, actually?
You could definitely make an argument for the Spurs.
But it's all homegrown guys, and
the only difference between them would be the coaching. With Pop has been there, he's established, and Cooper Cooper first off, like he's a lawyer turned coach. Like the guy never played, never did anything semi hockey related. Really, he got brought in through the Lightning, and never. I don't think he played hockey, and they believed in him, and he was the head coach. I think it was his first or second year when he played the Hawks. In the finals or coached against them. And I mean, that's a hell of a learning experience to go from, you know, you coach against that dynasty, you stay really competitive and top your league. And then you lose to Columbus in the first round, get swept. You reach the bottom of the bottom and then you go to the top for two straight years. John Cooper is going to be a Hall of Fame coach. That guy has really, really found an awesome way to like keep Tampa clicking, because they've been clicking non-stop. He is like he is kind of like Pop though, because like he is just consistently, he does it his own way.
Mm-hmm.
He does it his way, and I think that's really you know, something you got to appreciate with someone doing a completely unorthodox style, and he's found success in two straight seasons. You haven't seen back-to-back cups since Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, and
pretty good
going into people doing things their own way. The Big 12 is doing something very much their own way. You want to tell the people what the Big 12 announced today?
It was so stupid. I don't know if they're trying to like fully crack down or like penalize players or do what, but they're essentially just saying quit the horns down garbage. And I'm telling the Big 12 right back, shut your mouth. Like, horns down is everything college sports is about. You're taking away this and this. Like, come on. It's like, there was a perfect analogy I read on Twitter. If someone flipped me off, I'm going to flip them off right back. If a Texas fan gives me horns up, I'll fucking horns down them right back. Like, there's nothing. That's the response every single time. If you're not a Texas fan, it's like the Jeep wave. You got to give the horns down back. I got no problem with the horns down. I asked a Texas fan today as well for my internship what he thought of it, and he said it was some soft baby shit. I agree with him. It is soft. Like, you can't say something is bad and make a public, like, deal about it, because then people are going to want to keep doing it, a la Chicago Cubs with the beer snake. They finally allowed it once people were pissed about them not allowing it, but they made it known it wasn't allowed, and then people really wanted to keep doing it, so – I don't think this solved anything. I think the Big 12 was just flexing for no reason. It was such a power trip.
Yeah.
They were going to keep horns downing. And the only people that were really upset about it was Tom Herman, who's now on the Bears staff. Yum. Thank God his soft ass is there. And then Sam Ehlinger, who got picked by the Colts. I mean, hopefully those guys don't bring down the culture. Whatever, dude. It was so stupid to even hear. Like, what are we talking about here? Horns down.
Horns down.
Jesus. Like,
I mean, can you, I mean, and think about it. This is the conference Iowa State's in. It just shows how soft that conference
really seriously, is. Seriously, you can't, honestly. It's like, so soft. Can you imagine
Kirk Ferentz being in a conference where they announce at a meeting, hey, we need to get all the head coaches together because we want to discuss horns down and how we don't want to have horns down anymore. Kirk would laugh and like walk out.
You know, the last thing on this, and it's kind of a rough comparison, but it'd be like, hey, quit making fun of Penn State's past. What? No. Like, that's just not gonna stop. You can't stop what's already been like set in stone. We're horns downing the fuck out of Texas and we'll make the fun out of Penn State until we die. Like, it's just, dude,
when I saw that today, I wanna go to a Texas game where they lose and I wanna do horns down. Like, that is now a goal of mine.
Yes.
In the next year or two is to go to Austin. Texas.
Yeah, that would be electric.
It would be so electric. But the thing is, I don't know if I'd want to do it in Austin. I want to do it in like Oklahoma or something because there's some crazy Texas people.
Yeah, but I kind of want to go to Texas to see the Longhorn. It's a pretty cool mascot.
Yeah, that's true.
Bevo. That's his name. I'm proud to know that.
Yeah, Jack's very proud to know that because, you know, after we graduate from Iowa, guys, he's going to kind of transition from being an Iowa State fan to a Hawkeye fan.
Listen, if that's the only transition I'm making in 2021, then I think I'm doing all right for myself, Sam.
Going off of that, there is a transition in the basketball film world. There's now a second Space Jam, guys, and it's coming out tomorrow, July 16th. And to be honest, I don't know how I feel about it. Because, like, I saw a thing on Twitter, which I thought would have been a cooler Space Jam 2. And I don't know if you saw this, Jack, but it was either Tom Brady or Pat Mahomes. And then a thing of all the monsters. And it was all defensive guys. Like Aaron Donald. Yeah,
I saw those. It was raw. Like, I'd like it.
I was like, with the graphics they're showing for Space Jam 2, imagine a football with like the graphic being thrown up and the hits and everything. It would have been epic. It would have been epic. So, like, do I think, like, Tom Brady's kind of like – do you hear someone?
Me?
Oh, yeah.
Through your end? What, do you hear someone screaming?
Oh, I just hear a weird sound. Oh, I don't know. But, like, that's so weird. I just can't tell if it's coming from outside.
Maybe the FBI's tapping your room now.
Wouldn't shock me. I mean.
Yeah, you're a definite national security threat.
But, like, is LeBron tarnishing the Space Jam legacy?
Yes.
Is he making it cooler? Like, I've been
wanting to go into this. So I went to the Wikipedia before we started. And on Space Jam 2, it says, based on Space Jam by Leo Benvenuti, Steve Rudnick, Timothy Harris, Herschel Weingrad. Not a single one of those guys is on this film.
Yep.
So they're already going to fuck it up. Like, it's already set in stone. I've been very optimistic from the jump. I remember saying on here that I was going to say, hey, this is going to be awesome. I think it might suck. And from the look of the budget, $150
million. Yeah.
The bar is set pretty high right now for them to hit this one out of the park. Now, they do have some pretty cool guys in the movie. LeBron, Don Cheadle, Zendaya, Maverick Carter's
Ernie producer. Johnson.
Cool. Yeah, Ernie Johnson, Kyle Kuzma. Chinee Agumike, Michael Jordan's, or no, Michael B. Jordan.
B. Jordan.
Michael B. C. They wanted you to think the real Michael Jordan, but it's the
wait, Chris Paul's in it. I didn't know Chris Paul was in it. I knew
Kyrie, Draymond. Yeah, see, they're just, if you go to the Wikipedia,
Dame Dalla.
They spoil the movie. They really spoil the movie. So that's kind of why I went to it. But yeah, they got all these cool people in here. Gabriel Iglesias is in here as a voice actor. Fuck me. They kind of got everyone in here going. They did good. So
I mean, I will admit the soundtrack was kind of decent. I checked that out the other day. It was kind of decent. But, like, nothing beats Seal. Like, in the original one, Seal performed on Space Jam soundtrack. Fly Like an Eagle.
They gave Dame Dalla a feature. That's pretty cool. Dame Dalla.
I mean, I love Dame Dalla. Like, I mean, come on. Dame Dalla's All-Star Game performance a few years ago was just so epic. Like, I mean, nothing beats Dame Dalla. I mean, except ZO2. Like, ZO2 is a phenomenal rapper. Anybody can debate me on that. But Zo's music, I respect it so much. But to me, like, LeBron's always talking. I feel like LeBron, a couple years ago, he said, I'm chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan. or I'm chasing the ghost or whatever. Do you know what I'm talking about?
He's a clown, bro. He just now wants to be like Mike.
He did it so he can then be in a movie and then say, I'm actually trying to be like Mike. After years of saying, I don't want to be like Mike. Like, come on. Make a decision. You're like, why is it that he's worn 23 the last couple years again, and now he's switching back to 6?
Well, see, he wanted to do it before this season, and Nike wouldn't let him because they had already printed so many.
No, 2 years ago that he wanted to do it when AD first came to the team.
Oh, right, yeah.
So why now? You waited another year. Like, why now? Well,
because they needed to, like, have a full year to, like, print new jerseys and, like, let the new ones go out of stock.
So?
Like,
so
it's just dumb. So? But, like, that's like, just you so wore 23 LeBron, again, bro. Like, he just wants to rebrand himself and make him the center of
now,
attention.
So now will his practice squad jersey, like during the Lakers practices, be 23? Or is it always going to be 16?
He's just not going to have a number. He's not going to – he's overcomplicated.
Is it going to be like blacked out there?
Yes.
Like where it's just like black duct tape or something over the jersey?
Yes, I wouldn't doubt it. I could see him doing some crazy crap like that. Or I could see him doing the thing where if like you just have the number 0 on the back and then he puts a black he's nearly knocked over the lamp. A black piece of tape through the middle and he makes it like a 0 on top and a 0 on the bottom so it looks he's just gonna do some weird trendy shit to try and stick out because that's LeBron James. He wants to be the center of attention, blah blah blah. Look at me, I'm LeBron.
So I can't wait for problem, her on.
I can't wait for LeBron to comment about how hurt everybody is from the finals after the finals are done.
Okay, so this is what I was going to go into with the NBA finals too, is did LeBron curse CP3 by tweeting out every win, counting down the wins?
Yes, because he wants to make it about him.
Right, but then the other thing is, I'm really disappointed with LeBron for one reason. You make Space Jam 2. There's one character in Space Jam that everybody loves, and he's still alive, so he could be in this film. It's Stan. Everybody loves Stan from Space Jam. Like, he goes down with Michael Jordan, he goes down the golf hole on the golf course, chasing after Mike, ends up in Looneyville or whatever, Looney Tunes Town, whatever it's called. And LeBron needs Stan and Bill Murray. Like, how isn't Bill Murray in there too? Like, come on.
I'm telling you, it's because the same people who did the first one aren't on this one, and it's a
like,
different interpretation.
Like, give me some Stan
it's going to suck.
On the Space Jam, dude. Like,
it's going to suck. I'm sorry.
And then they remixed the song, and, like, it's just like, I'm just like, if they keep one thing, like, change Bugs Bunny. Don't even call him Bugs Bunny. Change Bugs Bunny's name. I don't care about that. But keep the original Space Jam song. Like, don't remix it. And they remixed it. It's like, I'm going to watch it tomorrow. Like, I really didn't want to watch. I didn't want to watch, like, to protest the film. But I'm just like, we need to give a film review on the pod. So I'm doing it for the pod.
You know, I think we also got to hit up Charlie Jones to get a film review from him.
Oh, see what he thinks. I agree.
I bet Charlie's seen the first Space Jam, and I'd love to hear his opinion on this. I don't think we got into the LeBron-Michael debate, but I'd love to get his unbiased opinion on.
Oh, yeah. What he's Charlie Jones film review.
Oh, yeah. First one. Let's give him his first assignment. Space Jam 2. Easy enough.
It's a sports film. Who doesn't love Bugs Bunny?
Yeah.
I mean, some people don't like LeBron. I mean, we know that. But we could convince them too. Just say we're doing it for Dame Dala. Like, we want to hear the Dame Dala song. We want to know how that's looped into the film. You know what I mean?
Right.
No, I would be really crushed if the Dame Dala song was like in the credits where you spent all that time waiting for the Dame Dala song, and it's literally like the last round of credits. It's not even like the first two rounds. It's like the last song on the credits.
Yeah, that would be crunch. Yeah, that would be ass if they just gave him that last 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it'd be tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. But you know, I'd love to do like my dream film review though. Actually, now is like, what if we were able to like do a film review with Michael Jordan on Space Jam? Because here's the thing. You know Mike's going to watch it because he's so competitive. Does Mike create a Space Jam 3 or original Space Jam 2?
Because
he needs to –
He doesn't need to do anything. He doesn't need to do anything. That's the thing. That's the chess in this, Sam. He doesn't need to do anything. See, LeBron's doing everything while Michael doesn't need
to. I have a question. Who would have been better in a Space Jam 2, Kobe or LeBron?
I mean, I think LeBron, just because he's cornier. Like, that's,
yeah,
that's just me.
Kobe
just
could have been too serious.
Corny dude. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Kobe.
Do you think there's a scene where the family, LeBron's family, sits down for dinner and they do Taco Tuesday? Dude, I just thought of that. I don't know. He filmed this like 2 years ago during the whole Taco Tuesday thing. Could he have referenced Taco Tuesday in the film? I say yes.
Yeah. And it sucks, dude. It sucks. I'm so sick of that. But we're going to have to hear Taco Tuesday come about.
Jack, let's hear your best Taco Tuesday.
No. No, I don't have it in me. There is no Taco Tuesday coming out of this mouth. None. Like, not a fucking chance.
What about Margarita Monday?
Nope. Not going to celebrate any of those holidays for LeBron. None. None. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do Tofu Tuesday. We're going to do Witch Wednesday. What's Thursday? Oh, Thursday, B-Dubs has a pretty good boneless wing deal. Fridays.
We're on Fridays, Jack.
We'll figure out Friday next episode, guys.
Any sponsors, reach out to us if you want to get labeled for Friday. Let us know.
If you want to be my Friday meal of the week, hit me up. I'm looking for one. I need one. Speaking of, dude, this is the second week in a row I've gone to Jersey Mike's on a Thursday.
Wow.
It's kind of weird. Kind of weird.
So is that going to be like a trend throughout the year?
So there's no – I don't think there's a Jersey Mike's in Iowa City, so it'd have to be Witch.
Witch or Jimmy John's?
I just said five witches in a row right there. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm a Jimmy John's guy, personally.
Yeah, so why are you saying Witch? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Because I just need to give it a try. I feel like Witch.
Have you never had it?
No, I feel like Witch is a blend of Potbelly. It's like a blend of Potbelly and – Jersey Mike's, because
that's
all I know. Yep, okay, perfect. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll like Witch.
Has some good hot sandwiches, I will admit.
Hot? What's your favorite one from there?
Oh, I don't
know. No free ads. Good point. No free ads.
Yeah, no free ads.
Good point. All right. Well, like Sam started this pod with, if you haven't, please go check out Apex. Their apparel's awesome. Like, if you haven't already, please go check it out. Just launched today.
You're going to be phenomenal quality, ran by an Iowa athlete. A lot of Iowa athletes are a part of it.
Who doesn't want to support Iowa athletes? If you don't want to support an Iowa athlete, then turn off this podcast right fucking now. Like always, not the same time, same place. We will see you guys later.